have sports news that we can give you on First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and of course ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. And it is the beginning of at least the legal tampering period. The window has opened. The breaking news today as we come to air is that Dak Prescott has received the exclusive franchise tender from the Dallas Cowboys, amongst other notable names that have been tendered to this point. A.J. Green for the Bengals, Derrick Henry for the Titans, Chris Jones for the Chiefs, Shaq Barrett for the Buccaneers. Also important to note, because of some of these tags, Dak Prescott being tagged means Amari Cooper has the ability to test the free agent market. And of course, we are right in the window of being able to talk about where Tom Brady's going to go. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We start with the Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Now, I'll give you some Straight Talk. Obviously, I'm not going to be oblivious to the fact that coronavirus and the spread of it continues to be the main topic that we're talking about throughout the country, throughout the world. I understand that. There is some sports news that we can give you, and I always look to try and give you some level of reprieve, some level of escapism. So while we will continue to discuss the ramifications of coronavirus, while we will continue to keep you covered on everything you need to know there, today does give us the opportunity to have something to talk about that's sports related, and it comes thanks to the NFL. The legal tampering period, as they like to call it, opened today at noon Eastern, and that's when teams can start talking to free agents. Another piece of breaking news from the free agent world at this point. It looks like we're going to have a big signing for Hooper out of the leaving the Falcons, going over to the Browns, at least as of now. Can't sign yet. Austin Hooper would become the highest paid tight end. It looks like that offer is coming from Cleveland. So we'll keep you updated as we get more information. But the biggest piece of information we got this morning, quarterback related, comes around Dak Prescott. Remember, we expected that something will get done. We expected there'll be a franchise tender. We now know he's been given the exclusive franchise tag, meaning that he can't play or he can't talk to anybody else, and that he will, for 1 year, at least get a deal between at least $30 and $33 million while they still have time to work out a bigger deal. This caused reaction on First Take as Stephen A. Max, they were joined by Marcus Spears to break down what all of this means for Dak and the Cowboys moving forward.
If I'm Dak Prescott, I'd be looking to sit out the damn season, because if you don't trust me by now to believe in me and make the long-term commitment in me, especially even though it's not for the same numbers, when I just watched Ryan Tannehill have one good year out of six or seven, and he gets $118 million with $91 million guaranteed, and I'm sitting there and I'm having this kind of trouble with you, I don't even want to talk to you if you're the Dallas Cowboys. I don't even want to talk to you if I'm Dak Prescott. I don't sign it. I stay home.
What this really comes down to me, why did the Cowboys wait until now to negotiate with Dak seriously? You know, when he turned down the they reported $105 million, something like that. When they turned it down, I understand at that point people saying, okay, Dak, what do you want? They're there. You know, you should sign that. But why did they wait for a guy they drafted in the fourth round and they never had to pay? Why did they wait until the 11th hour? And by the way, 59th minute and 59th second to give the guys a realistic offer. Make that offer a year ago. Even if we weren't sure about him a year ago. He'd showed you everything except almost elite production until this year he started showing it to you. Look, I still don't think Dak is a top five quarterback. I think Dak is arguably a top 10 quarterback, arguably. 10, 12, who's ascending though? Who looks like he's heading toward the elite? Why would a franchise who's ultimately willing to spend $105 guaranteed not offer him that a year ago when that would have gotten the job done? This is now what happens. A relationship that might sour, a quarterback that could potentially sit out, and just a bad situation overall.
I 100% agree with both of you guys, and this is even more layered to me. Didn't we just watch Kirk Cousins get re-upped again by the Minnesota Vikings? Like, the insults continue to mount up, and I'm with you, Stephen A., when you think about what we've been having. First of all, to both of you guys' point, we've been talking about this for 2 years now. This is about to be a conversation we've been having with the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott for a season and a half. Let's just say that. Now, when you look at this situation with him getting the franchise tag, and I want to belabor this point because everybody is going to try. Well, you know that they just in the negotiating period and they're putting this exclusive tag on him. The point we're trying to make to everybody in America is it should not have ever gotten here. We just saw the Titans quarterback play half a season with the league leading rusher and get a contract done, and the Dallas Cowboys are sitting idle. And oh, by the way, I want to mention that they paid everybody else. That's the most insulting thing. We can talk about all of these contracts outside of the Dallas Cowboys organization. They paid everybody else on the team. And maybe you significantly say, hey, we did that because we know that Dak needs all of this support in order to be a really good quarterback. But the bottom line is this. Quarterbacks get paid more than everybody else. Their contracts are not usually in a dispute unless you plan on getting rid of them. And the fact that we sitting here talking about Dak Prescott having the exclusive franchise tag after a year and a half talking about Dak Prescott should have a new contract is an insult. And to your point, Stephen A., like I said a few months ago, it is no way I wouldn't even mention the Cowboys' name until I had a deal done. There is nothing you can ask me if I'm Dak Prescott about the Dallas Cowboys.
Marcus Spears with big words to say there as he joined Max and Stephen A. to break down what it means that Dak has been franchise tagged, I should say, at the exclusive level. First Take Your Take, brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. What's interesting about this to me is leverage, right? And you guys can chime in on what you think. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You want to talk Dak? We'll take your take all day long. But to me, this is about leverage, right? Who has it? Who thinks they have it? And who's willing to use it? In this negotiation, as much as we keep saying this should be simple, we have no idea what either side's actually been asking for. We don't know what Dak's camp has wanted because we really haven't heard from Dak's camp. So yet again, as I've said with Brady, we're speaking for quarterback because he's not speaking for himself. And if he did, he could take all the leverage in this situation. Look, the Cowboys are doing what the Cowboys can do. I mean, the collective bargaining agreement that was just signed into place kept the right to franchise tag players. They are simply doing what is within their right to do from the collective bargaining agreement that makes the most sense from them from a negotiation standpoint. I don't fault somebody for negotiating with all the leverage and power that you possibly have. The funniest part to me is that Dak actually does have leverage and power if he chooses to use it. See, here's the part of it. You know, I keep saying Dak's worth whatever somebody will pay him. If he hits the open market, he's going to make a ton of money. Well, to find out that, Dak would have to come in and say, I'm holding out. I won't come in. I won't play. And then the Cowboys will have a serious conversation on their hands because guess what? There's not another easy quarterback situation out there. You think the Cowboys feel better going into the season with Jameis? With Andy Dalton? I mean, Dak could actually go in and impose his own leverage and say, fine. They franchised me. I want everybody to know I'm not coming to the facility until I get the money. And I don't care if that means I have to miss a year. That's a level of leverage we've never seen a quarterback take on. So because the quarterback has the leverage, but we never see them use it, we presume they won't. Dak is in the unique situation where the team within the Cowboys is using the leverage that they have, and they're doing it fine in a negotiation. What we've never seen is the clapback. And if Dak chooses to do that, if Dak chooses to come in and say, fine, here's what I want. I'm not coming in for a dime less no matter what you do. He would actually not only change the game, but he would change the entire scope of this negotiation. You guys can chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Here's the one thing I ask. Don't come in and tell me why Dak's not worth it. All right. Don't come in and just tell me Dak's not worth big money, because let's remember that Ryan Tannehill just signed a 4-year deal that's going to pay him, what, $29.5 million a year? Come on, you're worth whatever the market says you're worth when you're up to be signed. I say it every week on here. I'll continue to say it. So if you're going to call me and tell me that Dak shouldn't come in, or that the Cowboys, I should say, shouldn't pay this money to Dak, tell me what else the Cowboys are going to do. What's the other solution for the Cowboys at quarterback? Because do you think this Cowboys team is willing to go into this year with just anybody at quarterback? That's the other real part of this entire examination. Has to be, if not Dak, then whom? realistically for the Cowboys, because Dak knows what his other option is. Dak's option is sign this contract or walk away and hold out until he gets the contract he wants. But somebody somewhere will give him that big cash. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In fact, as the conversation continued for Max and Stephen A., they continued to have the debate about what Dak should do and what he should do moving forward. Check out what they said on First Take.
If you're willing to wait till the last second and you're willing to go to $105 million guaranteed, you won't go to $110 million guaranteed? It doesn't make sense. The Cowboys clearly botched this. They waited way too long. Then they showed every indication they were caving. And then to save a few dollars on the margins, they're going to botch the deal? The logic doesn't add up to me in any way except if Jerry Jones is simply trying to keep the Cowboys brand in the news, keep everyone talking about them, well, then this makes sense. It doesn't make sense otherwise.
Well, first of all, very few people care about your logic spot, Kellerman, because you always bring up your logic when it comes to talking about somebody else's money. But you also make sure to remind folks that it's about what the market allows.
And you were this being is the very thing. Belligerent,
you wouldn't
Captain.
Have paid him. Excuse me. When you go to negotiate, when I go to negotiate, if Swagoo goes to negotiate, if anybody in the world goes to negotiate, the market determines your worth. Once upon a time, decades ago, cats weren't getting paid money. Now we saw news about Tony Romo getting $17 million. Excuse me. The market has changed.
Go,
and so when you look at it from that perspective, if Dak Prescott is performing well enough to have numbers comparable or success comparable to Carson Wentz, then it is entirely within his right to sit up there and demand. I'm not saying, Max, that you're saying it's not his right, but I'm saying it's entirely within his right
sure.
to demand that, excuse me, I got a cat that's playing in the same division. He hasn't been to the playoffs as much as me. The one time he was in the playoffs, excuse me, he got hurt in that game. He wasn't eligible, mm-hmm. or not eligible, but he wasn't healthy enough to play in the two previous postseason
matches. So what are the Cowboys doing?
Here I am. I've been reliable all these years, and you don't pay me?
Let me be very clear. This is going to get done in my mind, and I'll go back to last year. We saw all of the eruption over Zeke. Oh, they haven't gotten a Zeke deal done. Ezekiel Elliott hasn't signed. Jerry said, Zeke who? Their relationship's never going to be the same. And then he got a mega deal. All right. I still expect Dak is going to get a massive deal. We don't know what the holdup is, but it's never as simple as just pay the man. There are a lot of constraints that go into when and how and who gets paid how. So I just have to continue to say that this is not going to be as simple as just turning around and saying, oh, pay him. I want, if you're chiming in on Dak, and we'll take your take on this, remember, if you're telling me that he's not worth it, tell me what the Cowboys are going to do. What's their other option? And if you're telling me he's going to hold out, what's next for him? By the way, we have some breaking news. Adam Schefter has just tweeted out David Johnson, the fantasy football extraordinaire, traded to the Texans, according to Adam Schefter. So the Texans continuing to be aggressive as they try and figure out how to build forward for their team. David Johnson traded to the Texans. That's according to Adam Schefter. As we get any more news on it, we will let you know. In the meantime, y'all have just fired up the lines. So we'll take some of your take. Greer from Charlotte, thanks for calling the show. What's your take on Dak?
Yes, sir. I think Dak Prescott is really truly worth the money. However, I'm surprised and appalled that no one has looked at this possible opinion that if you look over the years of Dallas and their franchise quarterback, I would hate to say it, but they have not paid an African-American quarterback to be their franchise in years. And that could be a possibility. I could be wrong, but I'm surprised that that hasn't been looked at.
Let me clap back to you. Stay on the line with me for a second. Has Jerry Jones ever had any hesitation in playing, in your mindset, a superstar player with this team that happens to be African-American, not named Dak Prescott?
No, I'm at the quarterback position. Let me be
no,
sure
but
I'm
I mean,
clear at the
you,
quarterback
so you
position.
Think,
but no,
so you
he has
think
not,
that Jerry then,
he has not.
But Greer, I mean, here's where the logic doesn't make any sense. Thanks for the call. But here's where the logic doesn't make any sense. So you think Jerry's willing to build what pay, whatever it takes, however he takes it, to build the perfect team, and he'll spend every single dollar he has, because we all know as an owner that part of the reason a salary cap exists is because if it didn't, Jerry Jones would just go out and outspend everybody. So Jerry is willing to spend whatever it takes to build the perfect Cowboys team at any position, blind of race, blind of any other issue, until it comes to quarterback, and that's where suddenly he has a line? Come on. That doesn't make any sense. That just doesn't make any sense. Part of what we have to acknowledge when we have the conversation about quarterbacks specifically, and I'll go back to Jason Reed, who's done a spectacular job with the Undefeated, writing great articles about the year of the African-American quarterback, because we saw a massive rise this year in success from African-American quarterbacks. That means, as a result, as those numbers continue to rise, we're going to continue to see African-American quarterbacks get paid for the first time. That's going to be natural as it happens. Oh, come on. I can make this about a lot of things, but you can't tell me Jerry Jones is cheap, and you can't suddenly tell me Jerry Jones is going to play the race card at the one position that matters most when he's never played it at any other position in the way he's done business owning the Cowboys. I'm not even a Cowboys fan, and that fires me up. Jim in Ohio, thanks for calling. What's your take on it?
Hey, here's my take on it. How many Super Bowls has Dak Prescott won? Zero. How many playoff games has he won?
But Jim,
does that matter at any other position
or just at quarterback?
No, just at quarterback, because everybody says quarterback is the most important position on the field. And you win and you get paid when you win. So
I get the argument, Jim, but it doesn't work. The argument doesn't work. And I said this last week. If you go back to last year, coming into the 2019 season, if you go to Spot Tracker overthecap.com and you look at the highest paid player at every position coming into the year. Now, this changed during the year because of one player. But if you look coming into the year, the highest paid wide receiver, the highest paid running back, the highest paid defensive lineman, and the highest paid cornerback. By the way, most of those positions are making quarterback money at this point. The highest paid wide receiver coming into the season was Sammy Watkins. He's the one that's changed now because of this, making $19 million. So you're talking about nearly quarterback money at every one of those positions. And between all of them, they had a total of zero Super Bowls. So we are applying an arbitrary team stat to one individual on the field and the quarterback. A quarterback does not win championships by himself. I don't care who he is. I don't care how good he is. A quarterback doesn't win by himself, and I'm going to hold the quarterback position to the same set. That's all I'm asking through all of this. If we're going to talk quarterback pay, then let's talk the same way that we talk about every other position. And if we're going to talk about Jerry Jones and race, let's talk about the same way that he talks about every single position. You guys keep chiming in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll keep taking your take. In the meantime, another big piece of news at this point, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. That's big news. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Now we know at this point the NFL draft is going to continue as far as we know right now, but it will not be the public spectacle in Las Vegas. The NFL will not be holding the massive public spectacle that we're used to. I think many of us expected this. So Marcus Spears joined Max and Stephen A. to weigh in on the NFL's decision to cancel the public draft events in Las Vegas.
The NFL obviously going through all of their protocols to make a decision on what they want to do. And obviously the draft is a big deal for a lot of guys, lifelong goals and opportunity for these guys playing the NFL. But to me, I don't know if it's that important to bring the personnel to Las Vegas with what we're dealing with. That's still a lot of people if the plan is to bring NFL personnel and brass there. We're talking about social distancing in this country right now, and obviously, you know, them talking about the public things won't go on, which was, to me, obvious that shouldn't take place. So I don't know. I think it would be cool if the NFL was to put a spin on it like everybody does it, possibly from their facility, try to create some kind of world wind of these guys making picks and showing war rooms and decisions being made. But that's just my personal opinion. I still don't believe that they should bring all of the personnel into Las Vegas. And I know Vegas is hurting. That's a city, not hurting, but that's a city that was looking forward to having the draft, the fanfare, the festivities, and all of the things. I was looking forward to going to Vegas and covering the draft, but being smart with what's relative and what's happening in the country right now, I thought it would be smart for the NFL to do it from their war rooms in these particular cities. At this point in this juncture, I still think it would be as exciting for the players just hearing their name called.
I don't have any issue whatsoever with the draft taking place, so long as you're not having a cluster of individuals, you know, just joining together and what have you, as long as you're following the advised protocol in terms of limiting the amount of interaction and limiting the crowds drastically, I don't have any problem with it being televised whatsoever. Excuse me, the players don't always have to be sitting together. They certainly don't have to shake hands with one another. You're absolutely right, Marcus. All the personnel that shows up in attendance for the NFL draft, that's not necessary, and certainly the crowd won't be there. So in light of that, let's call it what it is. If we're really, really being honest about it, even though we've seen thousands upon thousands of people, you know, the first round is what really has that crowd buzzing and all of that other stuff. I'm not saying that the crowd disperses and it's non-existent in the second round and beyond, but the bottom line is that those top picks that you're talking about, that's what everybody's really transfixed about. Really, it's a televised, yeah. It's a televised commodity as far as I'm concerned. You don't need all of those people there, and it could still be a successful venture for the television networks, for the leagues, and more importantly, for the players that are going to hear their names called. I have no problem with it whatsoever, and there's plenty of room to make sure that folks are not interacting with one another to a degree. It's not like it's airborne or something to our knowledge. Don't be touching people. Has practiced good hygiene, as they say. Wash your damn hands. Oh, by the way, don't shake hands. Elbow bump or fist pump if you have to, but refrain from the traditional and conventional activities of involving physical contact. And outside of that, keep the crowd to a minimum. And I don't have a problem with the draft taking place on television.
This feels like a necessity. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. But it's still heartbreaking for the city of Las Vegas, especially, you know, I make no bones about it. As somebody that's from Vegas, you start to see the economic losses that will impact Vegas from the closing of casinos and now the loss of the draft. You start to wonder, man, how the city will sort of cope with all of it. In the meantime, though, Stephen A's right. I mean, at the end of the day, the draft is a business transaction. As much as we love the party atmosphere around it and we love what all of that means, the purpose of the draft is to make NFL teams better by drafting specific players. There will be consequence to how players are drafted, but if you're telling me we've seen no live sports and we're all cooped up and we're all waiting for some opportunity to cling to something sports related and all they're going to do is give us conference rooms with picks on a board, you know you're going to watch it. You're going to watch it and you're going to obsess over it. We're going to be so thirsty for sports at that point that the NFL will be just fine. It's the city of Vegas that I'm heartbroken for at this point. We'll keep taking your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Y'all have stacked the lines for Dak. So we'll let you chime in on the Cowboys-Dak situation. We'll take more of your take. Plus, Ryan Tannehill re-signed with the Titans, told you so. What's that mean for Tom Brady? The panel discussed. You'll hear what they had to say next. But first, every night, local police departments across America receive hundreds of calls from burglar alarms. The vast majority of the time, they have zero idea if the alarm is real or if there's even a crime going on. All the alarm company can tell them is the motion sensor went off. Simply Safe Home Security is different. See, if there's a break-in, Simply Safe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. That means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. Why wouldn't you want that? Plus, you get comprehensive protection for your entire house. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching the home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard the inside. Plus, Simply Safe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poison. It's 24/7 monitoring by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself. No tools needed. Thank God if you're like me. Or Simply Safe can do it for you. And the best part, it's a bargain. It's only 50 cents a day. No contract. So visit simplysafe.com. That's simply with an I. Simplysafe.com/fits. And you get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Go now. Be sure you go to simplysafe.com/fits, F-I-T-Z, so you know that we sent you. That's simplysafe.com/fits, F-I-T-Z. Ryan Tannehill's back with the Titans. What's it mean for Brady? You'll hear the thoughts next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. Every minute of the week for the last couple of weeks, I've been saying this phrase, but this time it's sports related. We have breaking news. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. Presented by Progressive Insurance, I'm Jason Fitz. All of our guests and you appear on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. You guys have stacked the lines to argue about Dak. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily Podcast, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. I want to give a shout-out to my guy, John McClain. John, one of the most influential people in my career personally, has covered the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for 43 years. He's tweeting it as we go. DeAndre Hopkins in a fourth-round pick have been traded to the Cardinals. We told you a minute ago that we got the news David Johnson was headed from the Cardinals to the Texans. We now know that was a trade. So DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick go to the Cards for David Johnson, and a second round pick this year and a fourth round pick next year. So again, Hopkins and a fourth go to the Cardinals. The Cardinals send David Johnson, a second rounder this year and a fourth rounder for next year, over to Houston. So at this point, it looks like, according to John on Twitter, the Texans didn't want to redo Hopkins' contract with 3 years left. They'll now have 2 second-round picks, a third-rounder, and 2 fourth-rounders given this trade. Now we know David Johnson will be a Texan, DeAndre Hopkins will be a Cardinal, and now you're putting DeAndre Hopkins with Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald. We'll try and get a breakdown on that. We're going to see if we can get John. We're efforting some extra information on that. In the meantime, we did hear the other quarterback news of the day that everybody was talking about. Ryan Tannehill signs a big deal, and now we're trying to figure out what the market looks like for Tom Brady. Stephen A. Smith chimed in on this with Max and Mike Greenberg joining the panel today as they figured out what all of this means for Brady moving forward.
Well, first of all, let me be very, very clear. The only reason why you have a situation where you're going to pick Ryan Tannehill is because he's younger and he has much more left in him in his career. If Brady were not 42 going on 43 years old, this wouldn't be a discussion. That's number one. Number two, I'm really getting sick and tired of the disrespect that's being, articulated about Tom Brady. If I'm Tom Brady, I'm looking at football analysts, I'm looking at supposed aficionados, and I'm sitting there and I'm asking this question, what the hell is wrong with y'all? Have y'all forgotten about football, or are y'all just on a mission to betray me? Because I got news for you. If you look at the talent that he was playing alongside last year, what the hell can you say? There was no Antonio Brown to rely upon. You just had him for one game against Miami. Josh Gordon, don't get me started. He was a reclamation project gone bad, didn't work out. N'Keal Harry, Lacasse, and all of these other guys, rookies, wet behind the ears, breath smelling like Similac. Tom Brady barely even knew their name, let alone what routes they were going to run correctly. How in God's name do we sit here and ignore this? I'm not saying that Tennessee made the wrong call, but let's understand why they made this call. 4 years, $118 million for a Ryan Tannehill that just remembered how to play quarterback for the first time this year. The previous 6 or 7 years in the National Football League, that was not the case. What's the situation involving Tom Brady? Tom Brady is 42 years of age. Chances are he's got 2 years max left in him, and that's about it. Yes, it's a win now league, but in the same breath, you're going to think about longevity, because if you are an executive and you are thinking about the future of a franchise and the sustained level of competitiveness that you could potentially have, then what you want is a guy that you can rely upon beyond 1 year. Nobody is going to tell me that if we just had to look at next season and next season only, that Ryan Tannehill is going to give you a better chance to win a Super Bowl championship than Tom Brady. Let's stop the nonsense right there. It's about the fact that he's 42 years of age. It's not about last year when he was bereft of weapons. It's about the fact that he's 42 years of age and you had a quarterback that you believe, based on his completing 70% of his passes last year, all right, this is a guy that we can rely upon for the foreseeable future, meaning 3, 4, 5 years down the line. If this was about 1 year, it wouldn't even be a discussion. Let's stop it.
You know, Max Kellerman and I share a birthday, and we grew up in the same neighborhood, and so it always pains me to disagree with him. But in this particular case, Max, I think you're dead wrong. I think Tom Brady is 14 months away, this moment, 14 months away from outscoring Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game with a lesser team.
He threw an interception to end that game. Let's be honest.
14 months ago, he won the game in overtime. Now, I understand if Mahomes had won the flip, then he would have gotten the ball first and they would have won the game. But the reality is Brady got it and moved them right down the field and scored a touchdown to win it. Here's the bottom line. In my personal opinion, Stephen A. is right. New England last year, Tom Brady was throwing the ball to people I've never heard of, and I have nothing in my life better to do than be following who the people are catching passes in New England. And I will give you the place he should go right now, which is way better for him than Tennessee, way better for him than the Los Angeles Chargers, which has been a very popular choice, or the Las Vegas Raiders, which would be a disaster for both. And that place is Tampa. Because you need to get the heck out of the AFC. We now live in a world where only one team is going to get a bye into the playoffs on both sides of the ledger. Buried under the 17 games in the new collective bargaining agreement, which doesn't come into play until 2021 at the soonest, is that the new playoff structure starts immediately. You only get one bye in either conference. And I don't want to be in Patrick Mahomes' division, and I don't want to be in Lamar Jackson's conference. I'm going to go play in the NFC, which right now is feeling a little bit like the junior varsity, and I'm going to go play with outstanding weapons in Tampa, an underrated defense, a coach who likes throwing the football around, and a division where someone new wins it every single year. To me, Tom Brady is still, if not what he was 10 years ago, he's still not all that far away for a short period of time. And if he goes to Tampa right now, I give them an excellent chance of making the Super Bowl.
Let's first take your take on ESPN News, ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. I mean, everybody can be right and wrong in this instance. Stephen A. says, if it's just about 1 year, well, there's no way you pick Brady. Well, it's not about 1 year if you're the Titans. In fact, if you're the Titans and you're trying to lock up Derrick Henry on a long-term deal, as we now know he's been franchised, if you're trying to lock him up and you're building your team for some sort of a run that you hope is going to last more than 1 year, you can't just look at the quarterback in a vacuum. And again, if you look at the quarterback in a vacuum for today, then you're making yourself susceptible to whatever's next. Because if you only get 1 year and then all of a sudden you have to rebuild, you don't have any assurances that there'll be a quarterback out there that you like or you trust. You cannot look at the quarterback in a 1 year vacuum. No team possibly can. And sure, Tampa Bay might be a great fit for Brady. That is possible that that's a great fit, but he can also look over there and say, man, do I really want to have to take on Breeze and the Saints? There's no easy answer to this. All of that's why he's going back. You guys are fired up about Dak and you're fired up about the NFL. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get more of your take next on the Cowboys and Dak and what they should do moving forward. Plus, the NFL draft will go fanless as well. What's everyone think of it? You'll hear next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Also on the ESPN app and SiriusXM channel 80, I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys have loaded the Shell Penzo performance line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Everybody's fired up about Dak, obviously. As we now know, that Dak has been exclusively franchise tag, meaning he can't negotiate with anybody else. And that he's going to make somewhere between $30 and $33 million on a one-year deal. Of course, they can still do a long-term deal at this point. That has to be pointed out. Also, the breaking news that we're breaking down as we get it here, and I'll go back to John McClain, the Houston Chronicle, tweeting out earlier that DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth-round pick have been sent from the Texans to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second-round pick this year and a fourth-round pick next year. We're going to have John on with us in about an hour to break all of that down. So we'll keep you updated as best we get more breaking news now that the legal tampering window, as they call it, has opened. In the meantime, the other news we got this morning, and don't forget, if you missed the first hour of today's show, go check it out on demand at the First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with a rate five times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. One of the things we've been talking a little bit about is the fact that the draft will still happen, but it won't happen in front of a huge crowd. We've gotten used to the spectator sport element. Well, that's going to change. Marcus Spears joined Max and Stephen A. to discuss how draftees will have to adjust with families and friends and what they might do, knowing that we're not going to have these massive crowds.
Most of these guys that's getting drafted, it's going to be grandparents. It's going to be mothers and fathers, great aunts. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a whole plethora of family members that want to be a part or involved in this. So are you going to go to the draft with just your mom and dad? Would you prefer to be at home where you can keep things more closely to the vest? I would prefer in this climate, in this situation, as a guy that's going to be drafted, to share this experience at home where I know that I can have more of a controlled environment and be more in a position or a situation where I feel like everybody is safe, as opposed to having to be on site walking across the stage and doing all of these things that transpire at a draft. That would
Marcus,
be my preference.
That's the thing, Stephen. That's the thing. There's the technology now that people can be set up on networks like this from home and with solid quality, you know, analyze it. And meantime, draft picks can send in, it could be organized, send in the video of you and your family on your phone as you are selected. Mm-hmm. Like, there are ways the public will understand that the video audio quality that they're used to may be degraded a little bit, but basically you're going to get the content, the drama that you're looking for.
Look, we all want a television product that's amazing because the draft is what it is now and it's become such a spectator sport. But let's remember, for so many of us, we've been watching the draft for years. In fact, I've said, if you're a fan of a bad team, the draft becomes sort of your moment. Your moment where you think everything's going to change and everything's going to become different and your team's going to be on the rise. It's why all of us, especially if you're a fan of bad teams, continually have watched the draft for years. So without the spectacle of it, without the spectator aspect of it, what will we do? We'll do the same thing we've been doing for years. We'll sit together, you know, and we'll group chat our buddies if we're still not allowed to hang out in large groups. We will group chat with our friends about why our team suddenly turned the corner and why our team is suddenly better. We're brought to you by Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitch. You guys are fired up about Dak. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Eric from Miami, what's your take on Dak?
What's going on? It's my first time caller, but my take on Dak comes into many places. He deserves the contract he's getting, but if he wasn't a Dallas Cowboy, what do you think about his endorsements? How much money he's making out of endorsements just being a Dallas Cowboy quarterback?
See, and I don't think there's a massive difference there because we live in such a global economy. Last time I checked, Baker Mayfield's doing just fine, and he's the Cleveland Browns quarterback. So you want to tell me if Dak goes to be the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders, he wouldn't have opportunity there? Or if he goes to be the quarterback of, frankly, the Philadelphia, whatever team he wants to go, you'd think he wouldn't get money as the Bears quarterback? If he's out there winning games, he's going to get money, isn't he?
But endorsement-wise, I don't think so. As much as you're talking about TV deals, and not TV deals, but commercial deals and all that, it's the aspect of Baker Mayfield was also a first-round pick. Dak was a fourth-rounder. So you got to go into that aspect of it. But he deserves the money. It's the aspect of the other financial likes that he's getting.
Well, and look, I just don't think that there's a huge difference. And if you take a look at the highest paid quarterbacks, in fact, if you take a look at the highest paid players across the board, you can look at defensive linemen and you'll see that some of the Cowboys star defensive linemen actually made less in endorsements. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago than players for the Lions. So, you know, when you look at the endorsement product, you got a great agent. You got a global brand as a quarterback. You can get through a lot. You can get yourself to the point that you're still getting money. All of this comes back to, though, like, who cares? I mean, no matter what he's getting as the Cowboys quarterback, you want to tell me if he thinks he can get more on the open market and he's going to hold out to get that? Fine. That's every bit his opportunity and his right. And ultimately, if he's going to sit back and say, you know what? I won't play a down for you until you pay me more. The Cowboys are going to have to ask themselves what else they do at quarterback. That's my big question, too, for Cowboys fans. If you're adamant that they draw a line in the sand and they fracture this relationship, what is your future at the quarterback position? That's the biggest thing that I want to know from you. What are you doing? You doing Andy Dalton and you feel good about that? You feel good about putting everything behind Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston or Marcus Mariota? I don't think so. I think you're forgetting that there aren't other gems out there. Coming up, Prescott has been franchise tagged by the Cowboys. We'll talk to someone close to the team to get the latest on it. That's coming up next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz.